Welcome back to Dakota Midday. I'm Kara Hetland, and it is time for our regular summer and fall garden segment. And joining us this week is Julie Hoffman of East River Nursery in Huron. Julie, thanks so much for being with us today on Dakota Midday.
Good to be back.
So let's start with this time of year. What is it that our gardeners need to be focusing on right now?
Well, it's been wonderful weather here with the a little bit cooler temperatures, although today we're getting a taste of summer again, close to 90 degrees, but it's wonderful weather. We really encourage fall planting for most trees, shrubs, roses, perennial flowers. Fall is a great time to plant. We usually have some moisture, cooler temperatures, but the ground stays warm for a long time. So what that does is it enables the root systems of all these plants to really get a good head start for the next season. We find out we can almost gain a full season of root growth by planting in the fall versus waiting till spring.
I had a question from a listener that says, any experience with or suggestions for the best time and how to divide rhubarb root right now?
You can certainly do a fall division on rhubarb, and usually those clumps on some of those older varieties will get quite large. So if you're digging up the whole clump or plant, you can certainly divide it down into multiple pieces to multiply those plants. Just keeping in mind that when you do the transplanting, the smaller you make the clumps, the longer it's going to take, of course, for that plant to recover. And we also do recommend once it's transplanted, probably not harvesting the next season until it gets a good established root system again.
Oh, so wait a year, let it just grow?
Yep, let it grow. If you're dividing it down next spring, you might be able to sneak a few stalks off of it, but you don't want to harvest too heavy. Now, spring is also a good time to move them. We have people that maybe can't do it in the fall, and you certainly can do that in the spring just as you're starting to see the new growth. But again, you aren't going to get much for a harvest that year that you transplant.
Another listener has her eye on her grandma's plants, and mm-hmm. So peony bushes, iris beds, and when's the best time to nab grandma's stuff?
Now is a great time to do all of those things, daylilies, peonies, all of those sorts of things transplant very well in the fall. Just keeping in mind, again, once you've transplanted them, we want to make sure there's adequate moisture for them until the ground freezes, and maybe a little mulch or compost over the top would help protect them for the winter, especially if we have one like last year, kind of open, dry, they would benefit from a little extra winter protection.
Put the mulch down around the root system? Is that?
Yep. Usually we, get them transplanted now. It's a little warm to cover them yet, but you can mulch to help keep moisture in. And then, once we get those freezing temperatures, daytime temperatures are staying down cooler in the 30s and 40s, you can even throw a light mulch of leaves or straw over the top of them.
I was given a big, giant mum plant, and I am told to just plant it, but I'm really not that bright. So where do I put this thing?
Okay. If you've got, a lot of my customers, you're seeing the big, beautiful mums now, and ours mm-hmm. are truly gorgeous, just starting to open. If you want to enjoy them on your patio or front porch, your deck while they're blooming, you certainly can do that, but we do recommend planting them in the ground. A lot of the varieties are winter hardy. Mums need minimum probably 4 to 5 hours of sunshine a day. So if you can pick out a spot, east side of the house, west side, south side, without a lot of shade trees, they're going to do the best on coming back every year and really being spectacular in that bloom color. We see them grow in shadier areas, but that's about all. They don't thrive. They are sometimes kind of weak and spindly if they have too much shade. And, of course, the less sun they get, the less flowers they get. So it's kind of proportional. You give it more sun, you're going to get those big, beautiful bushes and blooms.
And so then, do I expect them to bloom in the spring, or is it just green in the spring and bloom later?
Green in the spring, correct. Green in the spring, and they'll be developing. Sometimes some of those early ones will be a little precocious and try to throw up a bud or two in the spring or early summer. We usually say you want to pinch those off until about the 4th of July, and then from then you can let them go and get all of those blossoms. Now, the other question we have about mums is that there's lots of different varieties. And some of the varieties you may be buying in the store as a pot mum are not winter hardy for us. So you need to do a little detective work and check on that if you're really truly wanting one that will return every year for you. The other thing is that they do need to go into the ground for the winter. Some people are trying to keep them in the container until the next spring, and we usually don't have real good luck with that because they end up freezing. The root systems are out of the ground, not insulated, and that doesn't work very well.
And water, water, water until it freezes? Is that
water
right?
Water until the ground freezes. We have a hard time getting people to do that sometimes. Last year, with the dry late fall, the ground was not frozen. We did have people watering into December some of their new trees, shrubs, and flowers. So we can't stress that enough, that they need to freeze up wet. And it for some people who are really Johnny on the spot getting their fall work done, they're putting the hoses away at Halloween. Well, sometimes you may have to drag those hoses back out, especially if you've done new plantings. And that goes not only for fall planting, but you may have done some new plantings this spring. And we want to make sure that those things, too, are freezing up wet.
And what's your advice for plants like geraniums? Can you bring those in and then set them back out?
You can.
In the spring?
There's a lot of flowers. It just, as all the gardening people around here say, you know, it just is kind of proportional to what space you have in your home to bring in. And geraniums are one of those things that you can bring in as a potted plant. They do like a pretty light lighted area, so a south window or a west window where you get good light during the day. I know many people that keep them blooming during the wintertime. If you don't have the space, though, there is an old-fashioned way of saving your geraniums. After a couple of frosts, if you've moved them inside and they've started to kind of decline a little bit, you can actually take that whole geranium plant and pull it out of the pot, take the soil, most of the soil away from the root system, put them in a paper bag, not plastic, that's important, and hang them upside down in an area that stays maybe 45 to 50 degrees. And what that does is they will actually go dormant. The energy for the plant is in the stem, so you don't want to cut them back or anything, but just put the whole plant in the bag, and then next spring, about March, before we're ready, you know, if you want to get something green and growing, you can take them back out, cut them way back, repot them up in a pot, and they'll actually start to grow again for you. So I know a few people that use that method to keep their geranium plants going.
How many years in a row can you, I mean, can you just always do it and then just
yeah,
always,
you
it
can.
Gets
if
bigger?
You've got the space to do that. Huh. I know people that have kept them for many years, you know, the paper bag method or just potted ones, you know, many 10, 15 years old, they have geraniums that they have kept and the plants look great. The secret, though, is to, when you repot them up, of course, you need fresh potting mix and then the fertilizers. We recommend the slow-release fertilizers to mix in with the soil and then, you know, a good fertilization program and keeping up on them so they have the nutrients that they need to come back again.
I have another listener question, Julie, and it is about cucumbers. And just lately, before they're even really big enough to pick, they turn yellow.
Okay.
So is there too much water, not enough water?
Cucumbers are kind of a strange thing, all of those vining plants and stuff. What we've seen this summer, and it was earlier, we had people telling us they had lots of blossoms, but the plants, or they would never develop the fruit. That's one problem. The next one is the one you're mentioning, where they would start to develop, and then they just turn yellow and shrivel up or dry up or fall off the plant. And in both cases, what we're seeing is pollination issues, where if they're not pollinated properly, we get that fruit aborting or not setting the fruit like it should. Now, the interesting thing about cucumbers and some of the vines is that the first flowers that come on those plants are male. They are not going to produce any fruit at all. So the later flowers that come are the female, and that's what's going to get pollinated by the insects and things, and that's where you're going to get the cucumbers from. Now, we've also seen a lot of disease problems this summer. We've had such high humidity that we're seeing a lot of, if people are noticing a white kind of a cast on the leaves, they're turning a whitish color, that's a mildew disease, a powdery mildew that they sometimes get, and that can cut down the production or prevent them from setting the cucumbers also. So it could be two or three different things that might be happening with them.
I had an email question wanting more tips on what to do, what to plant, when to plant it, to attract more butterflies and also more bees.
Okay. The pollinating, and you can certainly, you know, we have a listing here for what to plant for bees and butterflies and those sorts of things. But some of the plants that we especially see, and usually an added bonus when you're planting for those types of things is also hummingbirds, because they all kind of go into that group. But for bee, the pollinators, you know, any of our, we see a lot of those. The list is endless as far as what to plant. But for our pollinators, we're looking at the cushion-type flowers, the things, if you're doing perennial things, the coreopsis and the bee balms and those sorts of things that really do attract those insects. They really look for those. Butterflies also, they love the bee balm. There are a number of coneflowers, some of our prairie things, black-eyed Susans, all of those things will attract those pollinators and the butterflies. If you're doing things, you know, you just maybe have a little patio or you don't have a large garden where you're planting perennial gardens or borders, things in pots work very well. One of the undeniable plants that will attract butterflies. We guarantee you'll have butterflies is if you plant lantana, which here it's not a perennial flower. It doesn't come back every year, which is why we put them into pots. But if you're out on the West Coast, California, or down in Texas, they grow like shrubbery, and some people consider them weeds. But for us up here, we're really fortunate. If you put that lantana in, I know my own pots on my patio, the monarchs have been just all over them lately, the swallowtails. So if you really want to attract those butterflies, get yourself a lantana for next season.
And what can farmers do to help with, you know, the bee issues and some of that? Is there something that entire fields can become?
You know, a lot of our farmers, we've over the years, the programs, you know, that were really encouraging those things like the CRP, where we were planting the native grasses and forbs and some of the wildflowers and things. A lot of that has been taken out of production, and we're going back into grain and that sort of thing and corn. And so some of that has seen the decline. I don't even want to get into, you know, about chemicals and pesticides and all of that. That's for another whole discussion. but you know, taking a look at some of those, maybe the farming practices. But we know that the pollinators are so, so important to us that I just would encourage the home gardeners to take advantage of doing a little research. I've even had some brave souls call the local beekeepers and have them put a bee box on their properties. You know, encouraging that type of activity is great. I've even had some customers that have looked into starting their own beekeeping projects. So that might be an interesting way to get some interest going on in that vein too. Just for the average home gardener, you know, just doing a little research and finding out which flowers those pollinators like. And then, of course, limiting your pesticide use, trying to go organic and using, you know, some of those products that might help, you know, prop up or get that bee population back up.
I'm hearing of some, you know, are the plastic protective sheaths around trees, is that a good thing, a bad thing? Is it something in a new housing development?
You're talking shelter belt, and it's kind of a catch-22, because when you're putting in shelter belt, soil conservation, that sort of thing, they're using that plastic as a weed barrier, of course, and moisture retention to help the new young seedlings of the trees to get started. The problem we're seeing, though, is that we get 8-10 years down the line, and they're using a lot of, it's probably not plastic, they're using landscape fabrics, the more fabric type of thing. And what we've seen with that is that they don't give. And as the trees grow, we're actually seeing the fabric starting to girdle or the trunks on those trees. So we'll have shelter belts going 8-10 years, and all of a sudden we're going down the cedar row or some of those tree rows. Mm-hmm. We see it more in evergreens even than probably shade trees, although I know there are some shade trees that's happening too. So what we recommend doing, and it is quite a job, but the people that have those situations are going in and actually cutting away or tearing out that landscape fabric because it is hindering the growth of the trees. So you might want to check on that. You've got a nice shelter belt going. get 6-8 years into it, or 10 years even, and you might want to start checking around. I know that those
don't
things
forget, you put that there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, but they do, because too, you know, blow dirt comes in, the weeds kind of encroach a little over the top. It gets covered up with debris, needles from the trees or leaves, and composted type things. So it is easy to forget about that, but we don't want to do that. It's just like people that are trying to, you know, we've had lots of wind damage, hail damage, storm damage this summer, and we've had people calling, you know, they have a broken or a cracked branch, and they're trying to fix it by tying a string or a cloth or a band, you know, taking a come along with a canvas band and pulling the tree back together and trying to save the tree that way. But what happens there is, because it's encircling the tree, it'll start to girdle the tree, and for most people, don't know about how trees operate. The circulatory system for the tree is right under the bark. So if you tie something around that and the tree starts to grow, it's going to girdle the tree and it's going to cut off the circulation, and then you've got a whole new set of problems. So that type of trying to save a tree doesn't work very well, and it's the same thing with the fabric. I would encourage people too, you know, if they put a tree ring around their trees, a lot of people do that for maintenance in a regular landscape or lawn. After a few years, you need to check if you've put down plastic or fabrics or anything to keep the weeds. You need to pull that back. It needs to be cut away. The rubber, you see the rubber mats or those weed control things, those too, they will grow right into the tree, and after a few years, it will start to girdle. It'll just choke the tree trunk right off. So you need to check those and be cutting those away also as the tree grows.
Okay, Julie, I want to thank you for taking time and coming on Dakota Midday today.
It was a great time. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Julie Hoffman of East River Nursery in Huron joining the program. And when we come back, it's time for our Images of the Past segment, and we're going to focus on the D.C. Booth Fish Hatchery. You're listening to Midday on South Dakota Public Broadcasting.